I just want to say, I just think you're beautiful, and I just think your music is so beautiful. If you just feel like Vanessa is such a pot of honey, you can have that pot of honey in your car, thanks to thanks to the great products that she's brought up for us. You know, you can share time with Vanessa, even though she's interstate. Even though maybe soon she'll be international, you can share time with her if you know she's shared herself with us through those products, and you can really grab some of those, and it would be a blessing to you, and hopefully a blessing for her too, you know. It's my absolute privilege to be here today, sharing with y'all, the people, the soldiers of God. This morning I want to take you through an exercise around the armor of God, which, of course, we read about in Ephesians 6. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Scott Loveday, okay? I've been a part of this wonderful church for about 12 months now. And I knew pretty much as soon as I walked in here that this is where I wanted to be. You guys are my spirit people. And I knew that this is where I wanted to be and where I maybe needed to be. I have a wonderful, godly wife. Her name is Christina. And here comes a Matt joke, Christ dinner, hey? Hey? and we've been married for 8 years. Chrissy is home this morning watching over our beautiful babies, Peter and Malia. And I work at a car wash facility down near the Hyperdome. It's a job that I'm loving. And I've been a believer since I was 17 years of age, okay? I unexpectedly came to know Christ while I was at schoolies week. All right? And since that night, my life has never been the same. Jesus, as it turns out, is alive. Jesus is moving. The Lord, our God, is at work, and His Holy Spirit is not finished with me, and He's not finished with you. Hallelujah. Also, just a quick one. Jamie, he's not sitting in that chair right now, but he was. You know, Jamie, the beatboxing guy. Jamie, wherever you are, he might even be in the bathroom. We can live with that. That's cool. You just tell him when he gets back. I think we'll just talk about him while he's not here, right? You know, I think he's going to be a pastor. I just think when I saw him speaking this morning, I just thought, wow! Like I just had a glimpse of the fact that he's going to do that like 300 more times. So I'm excited about that. If you're visiting with us this morning, I want to say a big welcome to you. Okay, and if you're here this morning and you're not sure what you believe, or maybe you're sitting on the fence with all of this church stuff, all of this Christian stuff, I want to say, that's okay. Thank you so much for being here this morning. In spite of your doubts, in spite of your fears, thank you for giving us a chance to share ourselves with you. Now, church, we're going to check ourselves this morning throughout this exercise, okay? And we're going to find out if we are truly clothed with the armor of God. And only you will know privately how you're tracking with this. It's always amazing to see which pieces you're wearing and which pieces you're not. Again, for anybody who's not a Christian today, I want you to especially listen closely as I go through this exercise, and I hope and pray that you will see the goodness of God and the benefits and the promises that God has for all who follow Him. They're available to you every day if you would just give Him a chance and if you would just turn your life over to Him and follow Him. Now, when we talk about armor, where do you picture ever needing armor? Can I get anybody to shout out? Where would you wear armor? In a battle, in a fight, hey? In a fight. Who's been in a fight? That's good. In a battle, that's where you would need armor. And imagine if you ran into a battle, okay? Let's say like it's an old school, medieval, you know, ancient history. You ran into a battle, you ran across the field, only to realize that you had no sword, okay? Or only to realize that you're not wearing your helmet, or you don't have any shield. That's not good. Of course, we don't have to worry about physical swords and shields this year in 2021. Thank you, Jesus. Not in a literal sense, But it's important to realize that as long as you do follow Jesus, we are in a war. If you love Jesus, if you obey his commands, you're a target. And you don't want to find yourself in hard times, in the middle of drama, in trials, in the midst of battle, and be unprepared. Now, before we do this exercise today, and I'll just grab that picture, we can throw that up there. Another thing I wanted to say, and this is pretty foundational as we sort of get into the meat of the message. I want to just say is that faith is the currency of the spiritual world. Okay? The only way we see faith working in your life is if you act on what you believe. That's to say that you walk it out. Faith is activity. It is movement. It looks like something. It is your belief in action, baby. Faith proves that what you believe in your heart is also followed by what you do in your life. It is the bridge connecting your thoughts and actions. It's powerful. Man, when you do actions, even small actions, but they're mixed with a little bit of faith, you watch what God can do with that. James writes, "Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." So as we approach this armor of God exercise, remember that it is built on a foundation of your faith actions. Thanks to your trust in a God who loves you and has clothed you with his protection. Let's pray. Lord, I pray today as we go through each of the pieces of armor, I pray that you would help us to take a good, honest, hard look at ourselves. Clothe us, my Lord. We love you and we need you. And God, I'm going to be the first one to admit, I am not strong enough to do all that you need me to do without you. I need you. I need your clothing, armor, and I need your promises every day. And so do all the rest of us. I pray in Jesus' name that you would clothe us. Amen. So in Ephesians 6, we all know the verse. I'm just going to start to read it from my Bible. This is no word of a lie. I'm not lying to you at all. I found this Bible about 3 or 4 weeks ago in a bin, at my car wash facility. It's amazing what shows up. I dead set found a bag with some money in it this week. It was awesome. I'm not lying to you. And it was really sad, actually, because this Bible is beautiful. It's large print, which I love. It is a gift. It's a gift the bin always provides. And now I'm using it to preach to you guys. It's really, you know, one person's trash, hey, is another person's treasure. Ephesians 6, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, putting on the breastplate, armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, shod them with the preparation of the gospel of peace, so that you are prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? Eh? Well, what does the armor stuff actually look like in my life? How does it actually work? How does it go from being kind of poetic and flowery language here into my everyday and your everyday? Well, let's start to do this exercise right now. Would you all please close your eyes? We're jumping into the breastplate of righteousness first. I want you to imagine that you've just fallen back into some bad habit. You know that it's sin. It's wrong. And you know that even though this sort of thing does affect your intimacy with God, you've still managed to fall into it anyway. And you feel rotten because of it. Because of the hold that this thing has in your life. And now Sunday morning church comes and here you are. Everyone else is praising and worshiping God. You attempt to join in. Suddenly you're hit with this thought. The thought like, how can you praise and worship today when you did that thing again? Or thoughts like, hypocrite, you're standing here at church, aren't you? Like nothing has ever happened, hey? Right? Or thoughts like this, imagine what they would think. Or imagine what Pastor Matt would think if he saw how I spoke to my kids or my spouse yesterday. Imagine what Carol would say if she saw me in the parking lot on Thursday evening with that guy, right? They cut you off or whatever it was. All of us have felt these things. All of us have had these moments in our walk of faith. Or is that just me? But what would you do? All eyes closed. When you're suddenly reminded of your stuff, right in those moments, and you just feel so sinful in yourself. I mean, even though you're a Christian, okay, you know, do you recoil? You know, you just sort of suffer through the moment. Maybe you sit back down in your guilt, you hold back, and you just sort of exist through the service. Maybe I'll wait a few days or a few weeks for my guilt emotions to die down. Or maybe I'll do some good stuff. You know, some payback before I feel holy enough or righteous enough to participate again. You can open your eyes now. Or do you bring it straight to God, our Father in heaven, who is our righteousness? Do you reach out in that moment and do business with the Lord? Would you face up to it? Repent of those things. Turn yourself back to Jesus, even in here, just in here, believing that His righteousness and His mercy and His love is already good enough to cover you in that moment. Do you humble yourself at the feet of Jesus? What do you do? How would you honestly be in that situation? Or can I say it another way? Are you wearing the breastplate of righteousness? If you're a believer here, we know that we're supposed to be like saved from sin or righteous or something. But what about when our reality, our feelings, and our experiences are screaming the opposite? It happens, doesn't it? Life happens. But I've got good news for you today. When Jesus died on that cross for your sins and for mine, that included all of your sins, past, present, and future. He has already forgiven me on that cross for that stuff that I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't want to do it, but even if I do, when I do, it's already forgiven now. He got rid of sin for once and for all. And your position in Him is righteousness. When you feel low, when you feel guilty, when you feel condemned, all you need to do is turn back, recognizing that Jesus', you know, sacrifice has covered all of your sin and His righteousness has already been purchased for you on the cross. Let's be those people who reach out and encounter God's grace. It's new every morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who recognize their deep need for God, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You are righteous today. You are holy, whether you feel like it or not. We need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. When you fall, are you wearing your breastplate of righteousness? Though the righteous may fall seven times, yet he will rise again. Are you wearing it? The next piece of armor we're going to go through is the belt of truth. I want you to picture this. And this really did happen to me some years ago. And I bet these things have happened to you too. I was actually watching, I think, either a movie or some television with some mates. And an ad came up on TV. And it was like the Jesus tomb. And then it cuts to some scientist. And he's like, this changes everything. And then it says, we have found the tomb that has, you know, the whatever you call it, the box that had Jesus' bones in it. Oh, we have found the tomb, and you know, it's got all their names on it, and it was this whole documentary about how they made this new discovery, and the ad was so convincing. And I think my mates were like, you know, you're the Christian one, hey, what do you think of this? What are you going to do if it's all real and your faith is a lie? Right? Does anybody remember when the Jesus tomb came out? I'm not going to lie, it was about 15 years ago. I remember. Okay. How would you be feeling if something happened that rocked your faith? Probably not good, like what I was feeling that day. Have you ever come across something like this which has rocked your faith? Or even has something ever happened in your life which has shaken what you believe? And there's nothing wrong with good, hard questions. In fact, the Lord loves them. But I'm not just talking about good, hard questions. I'm talking about when you go, oh my gosh, what if I'm wrong about what I believe? I'm talking about the big stuff. And it looks different for different people. But has anything ever thrown you into a world of confusion? I want to ask you this question then. Are you wearing your belt of truth? Man, when I was a young Christian, this stuff used to mess with me. It could be that TV documentary like The Tomb of Jesus. It could be bad stuff happening in the world or in my life. Hearing about the fall of certain ministries or preachers or church splits. It could be unanswered prayers. It could be an unexpected death. I remember once coming out of Hillsong Conference, I encountered a street preacher and had this sort of big debate with this guy, and he was like, yeah, you know, sell all your stuff and move into our compound. And, you know, they were out there outside of Hillsong Conference and they were trying to, you know, reach as many of us coming out of the conference as they could to join this sort of, to join this kind of a thing. That'd be the place to do it, wouldn't it? I remember the next day feeling so confused and just having really what felt like a spiritual attack, just going, you know, I was a young Christian, like, should I sell all my stuff and move in with these guys? I was just young and out in the world, and I wanted to love Jesus and really do everything I could that was as much to his word as possible. But are you wearing your belt of truth? This is such a benefit of knowing and following Jesus, is that he guides us. And the biggest thing is that he's given us the truth about ourselves and about him and about this world we live in and about where we're going. And it's so important that we hold on to the truth of Jesus and of his word with full assurance. I want to say something about the belt of truth before I move on to the next piece. In many suits of armor, it is the belt fastened around the waist, which actually clicks into the thing, you know, to maybe your skirt or your legs and clicks into the breastplate. And actually, it's the belt that actually holds all of the other pieces together. And isn't that so true about our lives? When we are rocked and we're rocked in our faith or in our truth, it can feel like all of the other things are starting to fall apart too. Let's hold on to the truth of Jesus and his word with full assurance. And when those things come into your life, those doubts, those fears, those moments that rock your faith, be that person who's wearing your belt of truth and says, Jesus, I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to stand, you know, Jesus, in faith and in trust that you are real and that I'm on the right path following you, Jesus. I ended up watching that doco anyway. It was so not as convincing as what the advertisement made out, right? It was good fun, but nowhere near as convincing as what I at first thought. Coming to the next thing. Your feet are shod, or that you're wearing your shoes of the gospel. I want you to picture this. Close your eyes if you need to, or keep them open, whatever you want. I want you to picture that your work friend, you're sitting there in the lunchroom at work, and your mate starts asking you, you know, towards the end of lunch hour, oh, you know, I hear you're a Christian. Well, tell me a little bit about that. Oh, yeah, you go to church. Oh, what? Why do you go to church? And they start asking some good questions, you know. They start wanting to have a conversation or a dialogue with you. Or uni students. Let's say your classmates in uni ask you what you did on the weekend. And let's say you've been at a retreat for church, or you've just been at church on a Sunday. And you know that you answer, oh, I was at church yesterday. I was volunteering for this thing, that it might, end, you know, open up a conversation. Or what about this? Let's say mums and dads. One of the parents you know at school, or say at kindy, they're going through a really hard time, and you feel like God is prompting you to actually go over to them and pray for them and to reach out to them. And you know that if you do, they'll probably go, oh, you want to pray for me? Oh, you're a Christian. And that's going to inevitably lead to maybe a conversation or questions about faith. Does this situation make you feel uncomfortable? I don't need to see a show of hands here. This is just something you're checking with yourself. But do you have your shoes on? Man, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, and who proclaims salvation. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Man, maybe chatting about faith feels like walking in a minefield. You know, be like, oh, oh, oh. You know, right? Or Aussies, you know, they'll be Aussies. Maybe chatting about faith feels like you're walking through a field of bindies without your shoes on. Ooh, did I say the wrong thing? Ooh, ah, that hurt. That's not a good feeling. But if you love Jesus, and if you follow him for yourself, then please, I urge you, get into sharing your faith when the opportunities arise. Get into sharing your testimony. You know, you've got to have a 2-minute version and a 5-minute version, you know, and maybe if you get real lucky, one day you'll get a 20-minute version with a close friend or with someone who's asking. You know, but you got to be ready. Don't be afraid of asking good questions. And I'm not talking about getting into big arguments on the street with people or heated debates. But just being available and open to have a conversation rather than hiding from it. But nobody ever talks to me about that. Okay, cool. Just ask God for opportunities and watch those opportunities come trickling or even flooding in. And sometimes you don't even have to try so hard. I mentioned to you that I work at a car wash that's connected with a hire car company. You know, so there's a lot to do in the job, a lot of variety. I had to move some vehicles from Logan home to Hendra, and I parked the vehicle in at Hendra, and the manager there said, oh, come into my office, I want to meet you. You know, you're quite a new worker. And I sat down, and we were just chatting. He goes, oh, so tell me about yourself. And I said, oh, I've got a wife and I've got kids. He went, oh, no way, you look too young to have a wife and kids and all this sort of thing. And we were just chatting, just the most normal small talk. And he said after about 2 minutes, so are you religious or something? I'm just getting a real wholesome vibe from you. Man, sometimes you don't even have to try. Like, that's if that wasn't an opening for a conversation about, yep, I should have just been like, it's Jesus. Yeah, just scare him, you know. Yeah, sometimes you don't even have to try. But if you're a believer here today, be ready. Put your shoes on, right? Jesus tells us in the Gospels, in more places than one, that he will give you the words to say. And in Peter, 1 Peter and 3 and 15, it's written here, always be ready to answer each one, giving them a reason for the hope that is in you, and with gentleness, humility, and respect. New Hope Church, are you wearing your shoes? Or are you walking through that bindi field with no shoes? I mean, whether you're quiet or whether you're Oscar, I mean, sorry, whether you're loud, you can share your faith. Because honestly, it boils down to this, and we read in Romans 10, how will the unbelievers know without somebody telling them? We'll get to the next one. This is called the shield of faith. And we're just moving through them today because there's all the pieces. All right, I want you to close your eyes. This is a fun one. So you've arrived back at work after some time away. Or let's say you've turned up to a bit of a family event. Maybe it's Christmas or Easter or a reunion. Or let's say you come back into church and there's a rumor going around about you. And this rumor is untrue as well. But it's so convincing. This rumor is so, you know, that even people who are fairly close to you are like, ooh, is that true? And they're a little bit, you know, they want to check in with you if that thing is true. And this thing is just flared up all by itself, right? Apparently you said this thing last week at work and now you've arrived back after the weekend. You had no idea. And now you're walking into this minefield and what's that? You hear that your supervisor wants to pull you in for a meeting to have a chat with you about that? Did you really do that thing last week? Did you really say that to that coworker? Because look at what it's gone and done. Or did you really call that family member and say this stuff? Because now they've gone and told everybody and now they think, drama, drama, drama. I think we've all had this sort of thing happen to us. How would you be in that situation? How would you be? Are you holding up your shield of faith? The shield is the truth, and it is the promise that God Himself will vindicate you when lies or rumors or dramas or attacks are coming against you. God will defend you. And let me say something about that. When God defends you, He does so with a whole lot more class, and it looks a whole lot better than when you defend yourself. I know that when this sort of thing has happened to me, I just want to fight. I just want to be like, no, this is not what I said, or that's not how I meant it. And I want to defend myself, and I want to tell everybody, and I want to be loud, and I want to, right? I want to make it right. That's what I feel. But there are times, New Hope Church and friends, where we just need to hold up that shield of faith, don't we? Because I want to tell you about this thing. It says in Ephesians, it says, hold up the shield of faith, which will quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And you know, when you think about it, you want to know something about people with arrows and bows? Is that they generally don't stand right in front of you. Let's say if I'm going to shoot Matt with an arrow and a bow, I'm not going to stand here, am I? I'm going to stand up here, far away, where he can't get to me. That's when arrows and bows really come into their own, right? Like if you're going to stand close, you rip out your sword. But the whole thing about arrows and bows is that these are attacks that come from afar. They come from left field. And there's nothing that you can do about them. You can't control the man on the hill shooting arrows at you. But what you can do is hold up your shield. God has promised that He will vindicate you if you are on the side of truth. And even, hey, we all make mistakes. And if you've made those mistakes, but you can gracefully hold up that shield and say, okay, Lord, humbly, I'm going to accept those things for which I've done wrong. I'm going to say sorry where I need to say sorry. But Lord, I need you to vindicate me. I need you to protect me. I can't control where these attacks are coming from, but I can control that I'm holding up the shield of faith. And true in it, sometimes there's not a whole lot you can do about those attacks that come. But thank God that we've got the shield of faith. Moving into the sword of the Spirit. Now, I just wanted to move through as I'm aware of the time. I want you to picture that you're at the end of a bad day. After what's been, let's say, a pretty bad month. Maybe you're unhappy at home. Maybe you're unhappy at work. I've been there. Not in this job. I really love this job, but I have been there. Maybe your health is casting a cloud over all of your life. Maybe you're in the midst of dramas or family feuds. Maybe you're feeling disappointed because something hasn't worked out or gone the way that you hoped that it would. Where are you supposed to go from here? Maybe you just feel far away from God. You're not as passionate as you want to be, but for whatever it is, you're feeling all over the place. And so one of these nights, you know, in this time, in this zone, you're lying down and you're ready to go to sleep, yeah? I want you to picture that all of a sudden, you're just assaulted with like negative thoughts, negative feelings, and even confusion regarding your faith. It's like there's just something just getting at you. There's something that's just attacking you. You're sort of already down, and there's something that wants to kick you when you're down. I want to ask you today, do you know how to do battle using the Word of God? Man, we will have hard times. We will have negative thoughts and feelings. Even though we're followers of Jesus, even though we're supposed to be saved, yeah. Your thoughts like, do I even know what I'm doing anymore? Is God even working in my life? Man, why does this thing keep happening? Thoughts like that. But when those negative thoughts are swirling around your head, what do you do? Do you get up? Or even stand up out of your bed and start speaking out the word of God? But what do you mean speak it out? I mean, which verses of scripture do you have up your sleeve ready to battle with? Which scriptures give you hope personally and you can speak those out? Or what prophetic words has God spoken over you that you now need to hold on to? What sermons, what messages can you remember in your mind that actually are framing your situation right now? What stories from the Bible? You go, nope, it's just like Joseph. Okay, Lord, I might have been thrown at the bottom of a ditch, but this is not the end. You know, there are stories in the Bible that will frame whole seasons of your life. There are sermons, great sermons that you will hear, and you'll just go, wow, that's what that whole 2 years was like that sermon was talking about, right? Do you know how to do battle? Using the Word of God. Because I don't know what any other real hope we have outside of Jesus and outside of His living Word. Everything else is fading, but it's the Word of God that endures forever. And you don't even need to be good. You don't even need to be a master swordsman. Just pick one verse and start swinging it around. Just start fighting with it. Because I have sat there too many times when my mind gets assaulted with rubbish from the enemy, wallowing in doubts, sadness and depression and self-pity, and I sit there deflated. And you know, we can live deflated. But there is a place that we need to get to where we can do battle using the sword of the Spirit. Did you know that? Are you there today? In your life, are you ready? Are you armed with your sword? Imagine putting on all of the pieces of your armor and running out into the heat of battle, but with no sword. It's ridiculous, isn't it? But yet that's what we do when, as Christians, we get assaulted with doubts and worries and fears from the enemy, and we don't fight back using the Word of God. Remember that when Satan came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, the Word of God was what Jesus answered the devil. Therefore, it should be good enough for us. New Hope Church, let's take up the sword of the Spirit. And let's just start swinging it around in those moments when we realize that we need to do battle. You'd be lying in bed at night and you'd be thinking, no, all right, I only know this is only about, you know, less than 10 words, but it's like, I am a new creation. I'm a new creation, you know? I remember one of the ones that I was swinging around for many years was, I think it's Galatians 2:20. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of Christ who died and gave his life for me. You know, or we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand. You just grab one and start swinging it around. Have some Bible verses up your sleeve for when the attack comes. I'm coming now to the last one. And if I could invite again the lovely Vanessa. This last one is obviously the helmet of salvation. This is going to get a little bit dramatic, but I'm just trying to create a situation where we can picture what we would do or how we would feel to see if we're actually wearing it. Let's say you're off on holidays. Woo-woo! Let's say you're driving up the sunny coast or down the sunny coast with your family or some friends. And you're like, yeah, going on a holiday, this is good. We all need a holiday sometimes. That's true. Don't feel guilty taking a holiday. You got to take a holiday. Anyway, you're driving down the beach, going to a holiday or someplace like that, maybe to a retreat, whatever it is. And suddenly, as you're driving down the highway, you're at 110 k's an hour, the car in front of you slams on its brakes and you're like, oh my gosh, and you sort of swerve around it. But in that process of swerving to get around it, let's say you sort of clip the back of someone else and it sort of creates a situation where it makes your vehicle spin. And because you're going so fast, you're worried that you're going to flip the car or you're worried that you're going to end up on the other side of the road where there's oncoming traffic and you're like, oh my gosh. Again, I know this is very dramatic, but please bear with me. In those moments, I notice that everything slows down. It really does. Once I was driving up Kessels Road, and a truck clipped the back of my classy Magna, and it was a good car. And I remember everything slowed down. I remember that Jeff Buckley was playing on my CD player. I can remember that I put my hands up on the window because at this stage I was in front of the truck and it was pushing us up the road like the capital letter T, you know, and my hands are on the window and on the other side of the window was its headlights because it was nighttime. And I remember just like feeling really like, oh, look at this moment. This is like a whole moment that I'm in. This is interesting. And so the vehicle's spinning. Things are crazy. But for you, things have slowed down in that moment because they really do, right? In those emergency moments, I think we've all had them. And suddenly a thought comes into your mind. Am I right with Christ? If I die today, if I spin around and find myself in the path of oncoming traffic, and if I find myself injured or killed, God forbid, before my time, do I know where I'm going to spend eternity? I want everybody just to close their eyes at this moment. Are you assured today of where you might go if you die today? For those of you who are, you know Jesus and you follow Jesus, and you trust in His goodness, that's good. For those of you who are not sure, you don't know, maybe you don't follow Jesus, I have to say that without Jesus, who is life himself, your eternity is not looking good. You see, you and me were born into this world, into this life, with a nature of sin. We want to be the boss of our own life. We want to be the boss of what we think is right and wrong. But what we notice is that the world is far from perfect. Oh, sure, it's beautiful, but there's also a lot of messed up stuff that's happening all over the world every day. And what's also true is that if we look inside ourselves, and please do, you'll notice that the same stuff that's going on out there, the same stuff that shows that the world is so messed up, is also happening inside of here as well. It is sin. It is sin. And God hates it. He loves you, but he hates sin. And this is why we need to be born again. You see, the bad news is that we were born into a world of sin and that that is our nature. But the good news is that Jesus, by his sacrifice on the cross, it basically makes payment. It covers our sin. He was in our place of punishment so that we could be in his place of righteousness. Have you accepted that you are a sinner? Have you accepted that you are lost without him? Have you accepted that you need Jesus? I promise you, you need Jesus today. He doesn't want to hurt you. He loves you. And he's mapped out the very best life for you moving forward. In fact, he is life. He is the way. He is the truth. If you're spinning around in some car and you have that moment where you think, if I die today, where am I going to go? I don't want you to be stressed. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to say, Jesus, whether you take me today or whether you take me in 60 years, I know that I'm going to be with you. Though I may die, I will never really die because you are life and I'm connected to life because I'm connected to you. Do you know Jesus today? With all eyes closed and with all heads bowed, I want to ask you, are you wearing the helmet of salvation? Are you wearing it? Are you wearing it? For those of you who are, praise the Lord. But for those of you who are not wearing the helmet of salvation, can I ask you today, reach out to Jesus. Even right now, I'm going to ask you to start to raise your hand. If you were one of these ones and you're thinking, I'm not sure where I'm going to go. If you're one of these ones and you're thinking, I'm not sure if I've been born again. Well, you can be born again today. It starts by you accepting that Jesus loves you and that he died for you and that he's real, and that your sins can be covered if you would just hand your life over to him. Can I see a show of hands today? Can I see, are there any people that want to raise their hands and say, Jesus, put the helmet of salvation on my head. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I see those hands. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. I see about 6 or 7 people. You can put your hands down now. Are there any more? Say you've not put your hand up, but you're not sure where you would go if you were to die today. But you know that you need to put the helmet of salvation on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Everybody put your hands down, please. And I'm going to bring my message to a conclusion here. For those of you who put your hands up, I would love to pray with you, just as a small group and me privately at the front, at the end. But I just want to conclude here for all of us. Which pieces of the armor were you wearing? Which pieces of the armor were you missing? You see, what Paul is doing here through the book of Ephesians is that he's reminding us, the church then and the church today, that the promises of God are more than just words on a page. They are for wearing. The pieces of armor are for consciously putting onto yourself to help you to be confident in life and confident in your battles day to day. the armor of God is as important to you as what physical armor would be to a soldier in battle. It's that important. Remember that we're in a war. Not a physical one, sure, but a spiritual one. And even as sons and daughters of the Most High God, it's easy to forget that. Of course, the more effective we are for God's kingdom, the more that we sense the battle going on in the spiritual realm around us. But the more that we get ourselves stuck into worldly things, huh? Going after anything and everything outside of God, the less we remember that there even is a battle going on around us. But there is one. And the easier it is to forget that our calling and our lives must make, we've got to make them count for all eternity. I'm just closing now. I want to say you are in a spiritual battle, but don't be afraid. The Lord, through His many promises, has given you and me all we need to survive and to thrive, and He's already won the biggest battle. In Proverbs 18 and verse 10, it says, "The Lord is my strong tower. The righteous run to Him, and they're safe." If you know Jesus, if you do have His salvation, then you know that you have all of His promises. So put them on. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand strong. Thank you.